In this world in which we live, we need to always remember. The people of God always must remember. In fact, those who know not God must always remember. God Almighty. God Almighty is the sole sovereign ruler over all. The European Union does not rule. The United Nations does not rule. NATO does not rule. The Eastern Bloc does not rule. China or North Korea do not rule. The Illuminati do not rule. All these organizations may exist, but they all exist to do the bidding of one. Whatever rule it is, whatever rule it is, everything, every man, every woman, every child, every pauper and every millionaire, all leaders, all armies, every political system and all false religion. Yes, all things are permitted to be only to do God Almighty's sovereign bidding. Every demon in hell can do nothing without the permission of the one true God. Do you remember those demons called Legion who tormented that man by the gatherings? And when they were to be cast out, they asked and they had to ask. They pleaded with the Lord Jesus. They recognized him as Christ. And they said, permit it that we go into those swine. And the herd of swine went headlong into the lake. Only at the bidding of Christ, the ruler, who does all things according to his will. Everything exists. Everything comes to pass. Everything is allowed to come to pass. Only because of God. Only by God's express permission. With the God, indeed, with whom we all have to do. You yourselves have been allowed to exist, to live here below for one of two reasons. You may not accept this, you may not know this, but know it now. You have been allowed, you have been permitted, you have been spared breath here below to live here below for one of two reasons. And it's not what you have chosen. And it's not to please yourself. For one of two reasons you exist here below. And both groups of people exist to serve God's purpose. Both groups exist to serve God's purpose. You are either one of God's elect, those who were chosen in Christ Jesus, the objects of his grace and mercy, that Christ indeed, who is the Lamb of God, which is slain from the foundation of the world, has in his hand. You are either the elect of God, that yes, God chose in his Son from before even the world began. And he has chosen to reveal in time, in the gospel, his grace unto you. This is either you, or you are those who are the passed over ones. You are either the elect of God, the object of his grace, or you are what God calls the reprobate. The reprobate, meaning the rejected, the passed over ones. Now you may not hear that very often. Well, that's because people are liars. That's because most preachers are liars, dealing with half-truths. But this is the word of God. The word of God says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, that you be found not reprobate. And there are some clever people who think they're clever. They believe in predestination, but they say, oh, we don't believe in double predestination. No, they don't believe God at all. God says that the owner of the house puts many objects in that house, some for honour and some for dishonour. With the one lump of clay, he can make one vessel unto honour and one unto destruction. Who are we to question the potter? The elect of God, the elect of God are the ones who receive the grace and mercy of God, which they do not deserve. That's what grace means. It's not this cheap thing that today's false evangelical church talks about, just offering it like some cheap thing that you can buy at a supermarket. No, grace is undeserved favour. Undeserved favour. It's to receive mercy where indeed you deserve condemnation, rightly so, for your sin. While the reprobate show forth God's glory and God's justice and God's righteousness, receiving the just, the right judgment and condemnation that their sin deserves. Yet both groups of people exist to show forth the praises of God. God is praised in both ways, in both senses. One as the object of grace and the other God works through even to save his people. Yes, even the reprobate, even the those who belong not to Christ, those who Christ does not love, God will work through them to the good of his people. No matter how wicked they be, he will work through all people to the good of his elect. Even to the saving of his people. And to make provision for all manner of daily needs for his people. Here before us, where Moses is told what he must do in going to Egypt to appear before Pharaoh and to say that God has sent him to declare, you must let my people go. The Lord God declares here at this in these last two verses, 21 and 22 of Exodus 3. He declares here this fascinating fact that he, God Almighty, had already in advance taken care of every minute detail his people needed. Every minute thing they needed. And he was going to use the reprobate. He was going to use the ungodly. God uses the ungodly to perform his good purpose. That's why we read from Acts 4, that great prayer of faith from the early church. All these things, all these threatenings, all these oppositions, They came about by the express will of God. That God perform his good purpose. If you don't believe that, you have nothing to believe. First thing I want you to see here from verses 21 and 22, which we'll read again. The redemption of God's elect is facilitated through the actions of those who hate the Saviour God. And I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbour, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. The redemption of God's elect, the setting free, the setting at liberty, the ransoming of God's people from sin is facilitated even through the actions of sinful men. The Almighty has designed where and when and to whom his people should be born. We would not have it so, would we? We would make everything so straightforward. We would make it so that the majority of God's elect should be born in a circumstance where they all go to Sunday school, where they all come under the sound of the gospel every week, where everyone in their family is a believer. We would have it that way, wouldn't we? We'd make it so straightforward. So straightforward. But in the majority of cases, I believe, not exclusively, but to the praise of the glory of God's grace, he brings his people from many circumstances, and he has purposed from whom he will call his people. Many in the bondage of false religion, many in sad, sad circumstances, home circumstances, many through much suffering in their lives, many through war-torn situations, hungers and thirsts. Through all manner of circumstances, God has called out his people. God has called out his people. And surely here is a great picture of it. Because the people of God here were permitted and they were purposed to be here 400 years under bondage and suffering in Egypt. And then God's mighty hand comes forth and shows forth his glory in salvation. You see, for the things that are impossible with man, with God, all things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible with the Almighty. For the Israelites here in Exodus 3, we find they are amongst a pagan, wicked people serving false gods. And yet, these pagan, wicked people, these Israelites, served God. How come? How come? Because God brought it to pass. We see them here, they were about to serve God's purpose in sending the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, not empty-handed. God said, I will give this people favour. I will give this people favor with the Egyptians. The Egyptians hated them. The Egyptians sorely mistreated them. And indeed, as we shall see in the next couple of chapters, they would hate them with a total hatred because for the purpose of the salvation of God's people, these Egyptians would have lost even their nearest and dearest. After those plagues had come upon the Egyptians. And yet, God said, I will give this people favour. You know, all events coming to pass in the lives of God's elect, you who believe the Son of God even now, the objects of his grace and mercy, all these things, every single last one of them, work together to good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Everything the unbeliever does, everything the reprobate does. Don't get too heavily involved in protesting about this and protesting about that. Don't get too heavily involved. We speak to ourselves all the time. Don't get too heavily involved in when you observe the politics of the world. God's bringing it all to pass. However wicked or less wicked. Don't listen to what the world says. The wicked come forth from the womb speaking lies. That's everyone. That's everyone in Adam. That's everyone in our natural state outside of Christ Jesus, outside of salvation. Don't listen to the false rhetoric of the world. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are as wicked as each other. As wicked as this man is by nature. Right? And God will only permit whoever he has purposed to come to power in that country. Just like any other country. Just like any despot leader in the world. Kings and queens, whatever. He only permits who he permits. And only for a season. We think that the Constitution of the USA only permits 2 4-year terms at most for one particular president. No, God permitted that. We think that Saddam Hussein was taken from power, was removed from power by a great act of NATO. No, God did it. God appoints the seasons and the times for all people, for all their rule, and only to do his bidding. Only to do his bidding. Because God has one purpose. That is the salvation of his people. One purpose. The glorifying of his Son. This one purpose. All the rest is a sideshow. Why on earth? Why should the people of Egypt show such favour towards these Israelites? You tell me, why? There's no reason for it, is there? There's absolutely no reason for it. There is no earthly reason for this. Other than that the truth that the Almighty God would bring it to pass. And that's what he said, didn't he? And I will give I will give this people favour in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass. Simply because God has purposed it. Whatever comes into the heart of men and women and children, they think they do this and they do that. God's placed it there. God's moving the heart. Even the heart of the king, this way and that, as he moves the waters to do his bidding. That's exactly what's taking place here. But there is something else. Read this when you go home. Genesis 25. In the reminding of his great covenant with Abraham, God tells, I believe it was Isaac, sorry, tells through Jacob, says that indeed, after 400 years, where God has purposed for his people to be in bondage in Egypt, his people will come out of Egypt with great substance. That's why the favour was shown to these people, because God said it was so. And as soon as it went out of God's mouth, it was done. It came to pass. All things come to pass that God has said. Whatever the place in which God's people are found in this world, wherever that place may be, he will work all manner of circumstances. We cannot see that which is going on. But God, who works and goes as he wills, the Spirit of God, who goes as he wills like the wind, he works all manner of circumstances in order for his people to hear the gospel of his grace. He's moving every event in this world, every event in this world, to the purpose that his elect hear the gospel. Down to the very most local of circumstances. That his people be brought out of the kingdom of darkness, under the bondage of sin and death, to be translated to the kingdom of his Son, to the kingdom of light and liberty in Christ. You may be here this morning because in the sovereign purpose of God, favour was shown to you to be enabled to be here. It could be a favour that someone has brought you here. It could be a favour that someone has asked you here. Whatever. It could be the favour that indeed you've been enabled to have the internet connection to listen to this sermon. Whatever. Maybe. I don't know. It could well be that you have been brought to hear this message because this favour has been afforded to you to know the way of salvation, to know the call of God's grace. But God Almighty is working through the very decrees and political decisions of the world in order to do his good will. He worked and was about to work through the Egyptians. There was no other reason for the Egyptians to behave thus, other than that God said, other than that God moved them, other than that God purposed it. Look, please, look. Look, observe, look to what you see going on around you. You who believe Christ, look to what you see going on around you and see beyond all the paraphernalia. Look and know it is all coming to pass. It is all coming to pass to be as God said here. It shall come to pass. As certain, as surely, as purposed by God that the land of Palestine was occupied by the Roman Empire, it came to pass that Caesar Augustus gave that command that all the world should be taxed. Why? Because when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. God purposed them. See through all things, there's only one in charge. And rejoice. Look to what God is doing. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It always shall come to pass. God's will, as it is in heaven, shall come to pass. The Lord of hosts have sworn, saying, surely as I have thought. Not even what he has said, which is true. Not even what he has revealed in his word, which is true. It comes to pass. Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That's what the Almighty says in Isaiah 14. What have we to fear? Secondly, everything you need if you be a child of God. Everything you need if you be a child of God. He even provides for you. And he provides quite often through the actions of the children of wrath. The children of God are very often provided for by God through what he allows and purposes to come to pass in the lives of the children of wrath. Those who are not his people. What God requires of his people, he enables and provides for them. Even by making the wicked rich. Jesus told the people in the Sermon on the Mount, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's not talking about common grace, which doesn't exist, which these false preachers talk about today. It has nothing to do with grace. It's talking about God providing for his people. It's saying that what God provides even for the reprobate, ultimately, it benefits his elect. By the increase that comes upon a sinful land, God provides his people's needs. And we see particularly here in Exodus 3, in the goods that would be given to the Israelites. The context being which would be needed in the coming days when God would give forth his law and the requirements to worship him. Those things that were needed for the service of God. After all, this people who dwelt in the wilderness, 40 years, Where did they find these materials? In the wilderness. The only thing we hear of, yes, coming, falling from the sky, was that manna and the quails. We don't hear of any gold and silver falling from the sky, do we? So where did it come from? The materials that they needed, where did it come from? This is where it came from. It came from God's great providence, even through his enemies. For there was the building of the tabernacle of worship, its furnishings, the priestly garments. Where did it all come from? It came from plundering Egypt. You who are Christ's, in the majority of cases, God's elect, God's people, the people who are the disciples of Christ, in the majority of cases, work for worldly organizations. Worldly organizations and bosses. Now, something I learned a few years ago was you can't, as a believer, seek there to be a totally squeaky clean organization for you to work for in this world. You can't. The world lies in iniquity, in wickedness. There's dishonesty everywhere. The people you work for, you can't be responsible for their actions. You can't be responsible for where they get their gain. And I remember in a well-meant but rather unlearned way, I went to Pastor John and I said to him, look, what am I going to do? I've been offered a job at a cosmetics company. But surely isn't that all to do with vanity and all of this and things which are not becoming godliness and everything? And he simply said, you take the world's money, you take their employment, and you use it for the gospel. We're not responsible for where their money comes from. If we were, if we sought to find an employer who has everything, all their riches coming by total honesty, we would all be paupers. We would not one of us have any employment. We wouldn't have any income. The money that comes from tax breaks. There's dishonesty all around. But God overrules in all things for the good of his people and for the good of his kingdom. The gold that was used in Egypt was used to worship idols. Was it not? God makes those you work for prosperous, they think because of their own achievements. They think because of what they did. God makes those who you work for prosperous in order to keep you, in terms of daily needs, materially alive. To provide for your needs. And not only that, and that you be enabled to provide for the work of the gospel. That's how God, in his wisdom, has purposed his people to support the work of the gospel. If everyone came out of working in the secular world, the gospel would suffer. The work of the gospel would suffer. God uses everything, Everything that his people bring in from working in the outside world to the purposes of his kingdom. God gave you that job. God gave you that wage increase or bonus. But you know what? It belongs to him anyway. It belongs to him anyway. That which is held on to at great cost, at great expense to others, as people miserly hold on to it, those who have great benefits in this world, great riches, great possessions, it doesn't belong to them. It's only been lent to them by the Almighty. Everything belongs to the Lord. And he'll take it back as and when he chooses. For he declares in Psalm 50, as we read earlier, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And all the gold in every mine belongs to him as well. For he put it there. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof," says Psalm 24. The fullness. Everything. Why is it that decisions are made here on earth by the reprobate which cause the people of God, his elect, to benefit? For there are at times political decisions and decisions by bosses which are made that benefit God's elect. Why is it? Why is it you think that is? Do you really think it is generosity on their part? Do you really think so? Do you really think it is because they really admire the believer and the church? No. God directs everything. Otherwise, none of these things would come to pass. He directs everything, even the hearts of kings, to do good to his redeemed. Daniel 4:35, we have these words given, these words that were uttered by Nebuchadnezzar, who was brought to see that there is no God but God. He was brought low. He was even driven mad to go out in eating grass as an animal, brought so low. And when he came to his senses, he uttered these words. And we do well to hear them. "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth." Not just the elect, all the inhabitants of the earth. "Among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" No, his hand directed the hand of these neighbours of the women of the Israelites to give. And when they asked to borrow, it was given to them. Because God ordained it. Thirdly, see this wondrous thing here. See this wondrous thing and don't miss it. We could so easily miss it. See the greatness of redemption in Christ Jesus. See the greatness of salvation. See what Christ has done in saving his people. Moses, who is a type of Christ, is told in the final words of this chapter, "And you shall spoil the Egyptians. You shall plunder their goods." This terminology in the world and in the scripture, talking about plundering, speaking about spoiling the goods of another is always speaking of a victorious one. The victorious one, to the victorious one belong the spoils. The spoils of war. Why do you think there's so many redrawing of maps across the world? So much conflict caused by countries being divided up this way and that, because they're the spoils of war. The spoils of war. The plundering of goods. It's a declaration of the one who has overcome another comes away with the spoils, comes away with their goods. And the Israelites, who were in bondage to slavery in Egypt, would be redeemed by the almighty hand of God the Saviour. And these people were to plunder the possessions of those who held them. And God would direct them to do it willingly. This is what Christ has done when he was crucified. We're told according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. The early church of which we read earlier on in Acts 4, they prayed, and they prayed about indeed that the Christ was plotted against by the kings of the earth and the people. Why did the heathens rage and plot a vain thing? Psalm 2. By wicked hands they took him and crucified him. All according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Not the foreknowledge of God alone, but the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God did it. What a great turnaround here with the Egyptians, we see, having their goods plundered. The ones enslaved took from those who enslaved them. Will you see the glorious turnaround when Christ was handed over to wicked men, even unto their schemes, seeking to destroy the Son of God, to destroy the Son of Man? God said in this first prophecy of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, in pronouncing judgment upon the serpent, he says indeed of the coming seed of the woman, the Christ, the Redeemer, the God-man, you will bruise his heel. You will bruise his heel. You will rise up against the Lord's anointed. You will rise up against the Christ, as we saw from Psalm 2. You will rise up. You will plot against the Lord's anointed. You will take him by wicked hands. Yes, this was the desire of man to destroy Christ was the desire, yes, the desire of the devil and his demons to bruise his heel. But only permitted by God. Only permitted by God. As surely as Job could only be hurt only so much as permitted by God. But you shall not raise a hand upon him. You shall not raise a hand upon his soul. But Genesis 3 says something else, does it not? For this was all to do God's bidding, who said, he, the one who will be bruised. Yes, he was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our iniquities. He wasn't destroyed. He will crush your head. The devil who would seek by his ends, by his devisings, to destroy the Son of God would only be doing the will of God. And in that, he who thought he was the victor was the one plundered. They knew themselves to be plundered. The very demons of hell knew themselves to be plundered of all they held captive to sin. The devil's goods, the captives, were plundered. Set at liberty when Christ was lifted up at the cross and when he was gloriously raised again the third day. This is what Christ has done to redeem his elect. He's plundered Egypt. He's plundered that which holds his people. He's destroyed the enemy. You who believe, he says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them. The crucified, stripped, naked, gazing stock that he was made at the cross was doing the opposite. He plundered them. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And he led them captive. And in that procession, in that victory procession at the cross and by his glorious resurrection, in that procession, he brought forth the spoil. He brought forth the spoil, those for whom he came to save, the redeemed of God. Are you one of those? Are you found amongst those? Are you found amongst one of those ones that have been set free, plundered, plundered from the grasp of the devil, from the grasp of sin? You who know the Lord Jesus, pray for God's redeemed to come to know this salvation as you observe history unfold. Even before you, in this time and hour in which we live. Make this our only prayer, that God would bring his salvation to his people. Bring his purpose to be, that it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass in the place where the people, where there was a people who were not a people, shall be called the people of God. What about you who know not the Saviour? Has he worked all things? Has he worked all things? Is he working all things to be that you be saved? That you come to know salvation? That the salvation that is only found in one, in Christ Jesus, the all-victorious Saviour, then believe him now. Believe him now and know that this is so. God is in control. God will bring glory unto his name. God will bring his people out of darkness into his own marvellous light. And he will work and he will shake heaven, earth, and hell to do all his good purpose.